have Shabbos to be a chalitza. Always has to be by Yom. And as we noted last time, his interpretation of the Gemara is a bit difficult. Whereas according to the alternative reading of the Ramah, no. Really, technically speaking, the Iker Chafifa is Motzai Shabbos. But the Chafifa that you do on Motzai Shabbos will be able to be done very quickly if basically you've already done the dirty work on Erev Shabbos. Okay, Sivvav. So Rav Achai writes that the reason why it's mutter to be marchik the Tvila from the Chafifa is because Tvila was mana mitzvah. So the Ravid understood that very literally. He meant that when Tvila Bizmana is mitzvah, so then you're allowed to separate it, in which case it might have been applicable of Bizmana Gemara, but it's no longer really very relevant because we don't have Tvila Bizmana mitzvah anymore. So that's what you would think. That is the way the Ravid understood Rav Achai. The basis, he says, no, that's not what Rav Achai meant. What he meant was that because a mitzvah of puravu, that is why you're allowed to be marchik the tefillah and the chafifa. Kol lebaila mitzvah ikka. And that's why, obviously, you shouldn't be marchik if your husband is out of town, but otherwise it's okay. And that's the way we paskin. The Beis Yosef doesn't like the Ravid's understanding because he says, how could he have stated a normative statement that's not relevant, bizman hazeh? I don't know. Maybe he held they did two tefillos. Be that as it may, that's we paskin like the Beis Yosef. Now then the Torah writes that if you do have to be marchik, the tefillah and the chalitah, let's say, typically it would be when it's yantif. So after the first day of Yantif, before the second day of Yantif, or between Shabbos and Yantif, or the like. So you have to be marchik. So the Torah says you should be medakdek not to give a tavshil levna. That way you won't get dirty. Beis Yosef is very troubled by this, and he basically asks three questions. Number one, is it impossible? Are you going to go throughout Yantif and not give your kids any food? Moreover, anyway, there's no point in this, because right before the tefillah, she has to do iyun anyway. So why does she have to be so machmir if when she gives the tavshil levna, she gets dirty? So she'll discover it during the iyun. And finally, he writes, it's a chumra dasi lidei kula, because since she did her chafifa beforehand, and she was careful not to get dirty, so she's not going to do Ion immediately beforehand. And that's really what's most important, because Ion is deraisa. So while the Mechaber himself does not paskin this way, the Beis Yosef does answer what the Torah must have held. And the Beis Yosef says the Torah must be l'shitaso, that Ion is only midrabanan. Remember, as we mentioned, most Rishonim understand the Gemara Kepshuto, that Ion is Deoraisa, the Rambam, and the Torah is understood by the Beis Yosef held that Ion is only midrabanan. So he says, this is the Torah l'shitaso. So we who hold Ion is Deoraisa hold that Ion must be done immediately before. You can't be marchik the Ion from the Tefillah. If you hold, we could be marchik Chafifa from Tefillah. Chafifa is Derabanan. But Ion from Tefillah, we can't be marchik. But the Torah is l'shitaso, because he holds that Ion is Derabanan. And then he says, what was his motivation? His motivation was that you're going to forget to do Ion immediately before Tefillah. Of course, the Torah would agree. Ideally, she should do Ion right before being Tovelis. But since she's always used to doing Ion along with her Chafifa, and she's doing her Chafifa on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantif, so therefore she might forget. And therefore, this is a good Eitzah, Lefishita Satur, because at least this way the tefillah would work. But nevertheless, even though that's his havana of the Torah, the Beis Yosef himself does not quote this halacha. Now the Ramah sort of quotes it. The Ramah writes, she should do it, b'makom she'efshar. In other words, he acknowledges it might be efshar, but makom she'efshar, you should do it. And he says, v'im nislach lech, Let's say she gets a little dirty, so she should immediately wash her hands. And l'chor, the presumption is so she won't forget. Now, the Mechaber also writes over here that in the event that she has to separate her chafifa from her tvila, she should do hadacha beis hastarim b'mayim chamim shehochmu afilu b'yantif. Right? So let's imagine it's a Pesach, right? So the second night of Pesach, she has her tvila, so she should wash her mekomos to her beis hastarim with warm water. Not kol gufa, the Magen Avraham writes, and the Mishnah Berurah as well, and Siman Shin Chavav, but because you're not allowed to bathe your entire body on Yantif with hot water that was heated on Yantif, the Mishnah Berurah also says Rubo is Kikulo, so you can't bathe most of your body. But the Beis Yosef says that over here, isolated parts of her body, like her Beis Hastarim, that Shavel Chol Nefesh, and therefore she should wash those with warm water, Kodim Tefillah. The Taz over here, Sifkan Tes, writes, therefore, if her Leil Tefillah is on Shabbos Achar Yantif, in other words, let's say Yantif is Friday Shabbos, so obviously she's going to go to the mikvah Friday night, but Friday night she could not wash the Beis Hastarim with hot water, so then she should do it Friday afternoon before Shabbos. Now that's an interesting chiddush in terms of Erev Tavshilin. There's a machlokas Rishonim whether Erev Tavshilin works for things that are not food related. The Ran seems to hold that it's only things that work Litzarch Suda, and that's the Psak of the Magen Avraham, Tav Kuf Chaf Chesiv Katan Beis. Rabbi Kivager there disagrees. Also take a look at Rabbi Kivager on Tafresh Samach Zayin Sif Gimel. Could be that the Taz here is following the lenient view that Erev Tavshilin works for things that are not Tzarech Suda. It's possible that he would agree, even the Machmir view would agree over here, because if she's actually enjoying, she's nanem and arechitza on Yantif, so it's true, of course, her motivation for doing it is for hachana for her tefillah on Leil Shabbos, but lemaisa, she's enjoying it now. She's enjoying the warm water that she's heated, so that's why it's possible, you could argue, that everybody would agree in this case. One way or the other, though, the Beis Yosef, though he does suggest that one do this, he writes that it's not ma'akev. It's not ma'akev. The Gra writes over here that rechitzas beis hastarim bechlal ion de'oraisa, which is interesting. I'm not sure what he means. Perhaps the Badi Shulchan says it means because ion b'riyas ha'ayin is difficult in those areas, so therefore rechitza becomes included in the ion. One way or the other, there's an interesting hara over here, which is everybody seems to take for granted throughout this entire sif that she could not do chafifa on Yantif, right? Which is why we're clarifying when to do chafifa. Well, why can't you do chafifa on Yantif? So let's think about it. So what possible issues could arise? So cutting your nails, right? That's pretty straightforward. Clearly, you can't cut your nails on Yantif. What if you didn't do your chafifa before Yantif? So then, according to the Shach, we know you would ask a guy. According to the Taz, you would just clean out your nails very well. Okay. Are there any other issues? Because let's say you cut your nails before Yantif. What other aspects of the chafifa can't be done on Yantif? So you'll say, well, can you comb? So that also presents a halachic issue with combing, because combing might pull out your hair. Well, do you actually need a comb? What if you just use your hands? And that isn't a psik resha. It might be a psik resha, but it's not necessarily a psik resha. Depends on how long your hair is and how knotty it is and how thick it is. So do you actually need a comb for chafifa? So I think we mentioned this before. The Netziv writes in Achremos that according to Rashi and Rambam, you must use a comb. We made that deal from Rashi last time. It's not clear it's ma'akev, but that's what he assumes. Whereas according to the Ramban and the Rashba, you could use your hands. And we should note that even using your hands, even if you think you could be Mako, using your hands on Yantif or Shabbos isn't clear-cut. It might be a psik resha. L'maitha v'chachmas adam is no telahachmir. The Badei Shulchan says maybe you could be Mako l'shas adchak. But that's the second issue why, generally speaking, at least, you wouldn't want to do chafifa before. You wouldn't want to do chafifa Yantif. And finally, the third possible issue is the issue of balanim. We already said that we're matir mixas gufo with hot water, but not kol gufo. There's, of course, a very interesting discussion about whether that's true bisman hazeh. Does the xeris balanim apply nowadays in terms of taking a shower on yantif? Do we say now it is shavel chol nefesh and it would be permissible? Do we say perhaps xeris balanim doesn't apply in a private bathroom in your house? This is a big discussion in the poskim. Mary Willett, for example, thinks that there's a minhag to be machmir, even with cold water. So under normal circumstances, assuming that it's not very compelling, preferably one should be machmir. But certainly b'makom tzar, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is already makel, even if there is xeris balanim. And this is a big discussion that everybody likes to talk to you about. So we don't have to talk about it now, about showering on yantif, especially this year with all these three-day yantifs coming up. Okay, Siv Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch says a very, very strange halacha. It says that if she's afraid to go to the mikvah, so we know that you're allowed to go to the mikvah on the eighth day if it's dangerous, for example, to go to the mikvah. So let's say her Leil Tefillah was supposed to be Friday night, so she goes ahead and she can't go to the mikvah Friday night, that's dangerous, so she wants to go to the mikvah Shabbos morning. Is that permissible? So the Shulchan Aruch says she may not do that. Trei kulei b'hadi adadei lo makilinan. What are the two kulas? One is the kula of srach pita, and two is the kula of separating the chafifa from the tefillah. Now, this is very strange, because seemingly these two kulas don't have anything to do with each other. In other words, there is this kula of srach pita, which we waive the concern for srach pita b'shas adchak, and we allow her to go to the mikvah if it's dangerous on day 8. And then there's this other kula of separating chafifa from tefillah, which again, we say ideally you shouldn't do, but when necessary is allowed. And why should we assume that just because these are two kulas, if there are grounds to be lenient on both of the kulas, that you can't be mekel? What's wrong with that? So this is actually a discussion, a debate between Rabbeinu Meshulam and Rabbeinu Tam. And if you actually look the Tshuvos up in the Sefer Ayashar, in the Chelak HaTshuvos, it's Simen Mem Vav, Simen Mem Zayin, and Simen Mem Ches. It was quite a heated debate about this question. Rabbeinu Meshulam was Mekel about this Shaila, and Rabbeinu Tam responded that anyone who follows this should be excommunicated. Kol HaShomim Lecha should be b'shamta, and wow, v'im lo yishmeu eleinu nigzor v'nachrim b'kol ki laseinu al kach hashomim l'cha. Whoa. And then he says, and if you have some tainas against what I'm ruling, we'll, you know, go towards each other. Eitzei likrasacha ad chatzi aderech, we'll meet halfway and we'll duke it out, and we'll see who wins. But otherwise, anyone who follows your lenient ruling is excommunicated. So in Mem Zayin, we have the response of Rabbeinu Meshulam, who was very contrite. Don't start out with Rabbeinu Tam. Anochi hanivzeh v'hanimas meishiv l'rabo seinu. But l'maisa, he doesn't know what's wrong with his psak. It makes a lot of sense. And Rabbeinu Tam responds back in the next one, again with a very sharp language. He gives a kavachomer, the isha chofefes, but, and he has this svara, that you can't be mekel for two kulas. So the simple reading of Rabbeinu Tam is this very interesting idea that if you have two kulas, each one is independently justified, even in this case, but we're not allowed to be mitztarif kulos. Now again, If the kulas are somehow built upon each other, so perhaps that's more intuitive. But the two, seemingly Rabbeinu Tam is saying, that even when the two kulas have nothing to do with each other, it's still true. Now, the Or Sameach, in Hilchos Yisurin, be a Perek Dalet Halacha Ches, says that doesn't make any sense. Because if the two kulas have nothing to do with each other, and each one is independently warranted, why shouldn't you be able to be a starif? And he has a whole pilpul to try to explain why, somehow or another, these are related to each other. He writes, "B'shachafifa b'richok me'atvila az tochiach b'daita shel karchin yom shviyu." Somehow or another, we know that usually you're allowed to be mekel on day 8, because the daughter will not assume it's day 7. She'll figure it's probably day 8. So b'shas adchak you could be mekel for day 8. But over here, when there's a harchak of the chafifa from the tefila, so then she knows you could have been tovelis the last night, the previous night. She's apparently unaware of the danger, and therefore she's going to definitively concern that this is on the seventh day, and therefore in this case, basically, what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is here we can't be mako, because usually we're mako on day 8 because the daughter will realize it might be day 8, and she won't erroneously conclude that tevil on day 7 is mutter, but in this case she will come to that conclusion and the like. It's not the simple reading of Rabbeinu Tam, but that's what he feels must be the conclusion because there's no other possibility. L'chora, this is a broader topic, so we're not going to get into it now, but L'chora is a machlokas rishonim and achronim about this very question. Is there this principle that Rabbeinu Tam seems to be upholding of tre kule bahadi adade lo makilinan, even when they're unrelated? Sometimes, again, there may be more clearly logical, like we'll talk about later in the year in Hilchos Avelos, in terms of having the Yamim Tovim cut out both the Shiva and the Sloshim, like if somebody dies right before Rosh Hashanah or the like. Generally, it's a question, as we see over here, the Rabbeinu Tam holds that we're not mistarif kulas. The way the Radvaz applies that is, again, anytime you have two things that are mutter b'diavet, asr l'chatchil and mutter b'diavet, one b'diavet at once you could do, but not two b'diavets. Others disagree with the klal. We saw the Or Sameach doesn't seem to accept it unless they're related. There's a Maharsham who seems to be mekel, and it does actually come up in a lot of tchumen and halacha, and this is the probably the locus classicus for this type of discussion. So it's an interesting broader topic in terms of understanding kulas and chumras and bidyavids and lachatchilas, but we don't really have time to discuss it further. Sifches. So when they were misakein midrabanan, that a woman needs to do chafifa, they were misakein that it's even ma'akev. So if she didn't do chafifa, even though she did her tefillah, and after her tefillah she looks and doesn't see any chatzitzos, it's still ma'akiv, she'd have to be tovelis again. Now the Bach writes, and the Shach Zivkat Nidzayin quotes, that's only with respect to chafifa sa'ara, which, as we noted last time, is the chafifa mikra adin. Even though we write mitzad minhag, she should be chofef es kol gufa, since that's only a minhag, if she didn't do that, and tafla, and lo matza chatzitza, so then she wouldn't have to do tefila again, since it's only a minhag. But the Shach writes, if she did find something, so even though we're going to see in the next Sif, in Sif Yud, that where she did chafifa, samoch letvila, even when she does find a chatzitza, we'll assume that the chatzitza came up afterwards. If she didn't do chafifas kol gufa, she just did sa'ara, then we would be machmir, based off of the Ran, and take a look at the Shach on Sif Yud Aleph. So that brings us to Sif Yud. And Sif Yud here, combined with the next couple of Sifim, is really a very tricky sugya. It's a very tricky sugya, big machlokas rishonim, issues of girsos, how to resolve the sugya nida with the sugya chulin and the rishonim and the like. So we'll try to go through some of it, but it is quite a tricky sugya. So the Gemara in Nida Daf Samech Vav Amud Bey says like this, at least according to our Girsa. Tavla the also umatza leha davar chotze. So she does her tefillah, and then she finds a chatzitza afterwards.
So what's the halacha? Im samach l'chafifa tavla, ein atzvich halacha v'litvo, im lav tzvich halacha v'litvo. So it depends. If she did chafifa samach l'tvila, so then we will assume that this chatzitza came afterwards. We'll assume her chafifa was fine, and at least if it was remotely possible, it came afterwards. Now, I assume everybody's going to agree if it's impossible. You know, she's on her way up from the mikvah, still standing in the steps, and she notices some ketchup on her elbow. So we're not going to say, samach l'chafifa chafifa, and she doesn't have to be tefillos again. But at least if it's possible that this chatzitza came afterwards, we're going to assume that it did come afterwards, assuming it was samach. Why? What gives us that right? Right? There's a cheskas iser. We're dealing here with a safek, probably usually a safek drabanan, but it sounds like even if it was a deraisa chatzitza, we would say this. So the Balamor says that the reason for this is because any time she did chafifa samach, so she nizheres b'chafifasa yoser, which I assume that means that she's going to be very careful after her chafifa till tvila to make sure that she doesn't get any chatzitzos on her. And therefore, the more likely scenario, the more likely basis of this chatzitza was something that she encountered after her tefillah and not something that she encountered before tefillah. So that's the halacha according to Lishna Kama. Ikabei nayhu, im be'oso yom shechafifa tavla in etzricha lacha v'litva, vim lav tzricha lacha v'litva. That's Lishna Basra, right, according to our Girsa, which seems to be more lenient. Even if it's be'oso yom, then we will assume the chatzitza came afterwards, and the Gemara says that's the nafkamina, where it's not samach, but it is be'oso yom. Now, this simple reading of this Gemara, and this is the view of probably most Rishonim, everybody but the Rambam, is that the Gemara is saying that if it was samach, then we assume the chafifa came afterwards, like we said, and therefore she doesn't have to be tovelis again. However, the Rambam, and we'll get to his reasoning a little later, it's primarily based off of his understanding of the Gemara Chulin, but the Rambam understands that, no, all we mean to say over here is she doesn't have to do chafifa again. That is the debate. The debate is, if she did chafifa samach l'tfila, and then she comes up and she finds the chatzitza, so then she'll say, okay, wash it off, you know, the ketchup she finds on the elbow, wash off that ketchup, and be tovelis again. But if not, if it wasn't samach, then she's going to have to redo all of chafifa and be tovelis again. That's the view of the Rambam. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch, paskins Meker Hadin like the Rambam, that's his main opinion, that's the Stama, though he brings the Rambam as a Yesh Omrim. The Rambam is the Yesh Omrim. He quotes at the end, the Rambam is Machmir. Right, the Machmir. Rambam is a huge Chumra. No. If I did, okay. I was wrong. The Shulchan Aruch is Meker like the Rashba. That's his Stam. And he quotes that the Rambam is Machmir. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is paskening Lakula. It sounds like the Rambam agrees to that. That's the Pashtus Halacha. The Shach also seems to paskin that way. Though we'll talk about in a moment what the Pesachei Tshuva says. Now, we're makel on that Shaila, which means that the Shulchan Aruch writes, as long as it is samach, it's okay. Now, the question, though, is what exactly does samach mean? So, right, the Gemara uses the term samach. So the Rashba writes, in Tarsa Baisa Katzar, at least, in the Aruch, Tarsa Baisa Aruch, he quotes the Balamor, who says, Bo Bayom, that goes back to the Girsa issues, but we'll leave that aside for now. The Mechaber, and as well as the Rama over here, accept the opinion of the Rashba in the Tarsa Baisa Katzar, who says that we're talking about be'oso ona. So what is the halacha? The halacha then is as follows. If she did chafifa be'oso ona, which means to say that if she did chafif at night, and then she goes to the mikvah at night, and she finds the chatzitza afterwards, she's going to be okay. But if she did chafifa during the day, and she goes to the mikvah at night, so then we will assume, we won't be lenient, we will assume that the chatzitza might have come before she went to the mikvah, and she would have to be toveles a second time. That is the psak of the Mechaber. And the Ramah clarifies, even if it's samuch, but if it's in a different ona, right? Let's say, like on Erev Shabbos, she finishes her chafifa right before candle lighting. She lights candles, and within an hour of her completing her chafifa, she goes to the mikvah. Still, since it's in a separate ona, you would have to be machmir and be choshesh that the chatzitza came after before the tefillah, after the chafifa. So that is the psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Shach Sifkan Yadalit says, wait, hold your horses. Other Rishonim understand samach in a more literal sense, that it needs to literally be samach. This is the view of the Rif and the Rosh, that you have to actually be samach. So therefore, the Shach says we should be machmir on the Shaila. In other words, according to the Shach, the only time you could be makil is if it's both ba'oso ona and samach. We'll have to define what samach is in a minute. Now, typically, that will be the case, at least during the weekday, right? Typically, she's going to have chafifa samach.
Not according to the Yitzhakotis,
though. No. Even according to Yitzhakotis, she's going to finish at night. And even if she did her chafifa during the day, we always recommend, as we said last time, that she shower again and comb out her hair again right before going to the mikvah. So in typical weekday tevilos, you'll always have this. As I said, the nafkamina is going to be for Erev Shabbos, where you might have samach, but you don't have you won't have oso ona. Now, the Gra over here is somewhat bothered by the Ramah. It says, what difference does it make if it's a different ona? If Lamais et Samach, the Sidre Tara, they're very troubled by the Svara of the Rashba. Because Lamais, if it's Samach, it's Samach. In other words, what should be important, right? L'chora, what should be important is Samach. And like we said, v'shem v'balamor, if it's Samach, she's going to... First of all, if it's samach, there's less of an opportunity for a chatzitza to come. And more significantly, as the Baal HaMor said, if it's samach, she's going to be more makpedes, right? Why should ona make a difference, right? It's a very strange concept. Like, it could be 10 hours away, but if it's on the same ona, it's good. And if it's 1 hour away, but if it's on a different ona, it's not good. And that is why a number of achronim are mefakfek in the psak of the Ramah and l'chor the Mechaber. Could be that this is the Mechaber and the Ramah a little bit l'shitaso, who paskin mikra didn't like the shiltos. And the pshat is that she's supposed to do the chafifa night, and therefore she's not really acting appropriately if it's in a different ona. And therefore, the concern is greater. L'maisa, l'ch'ora, we paskin like the shach, and therefore, in order to be meiko, you have to have both samach and oso ona. So if that's true, we have to define what is samach, right? Let's say, for example, she does her chafifa at home in her house, but it's a two-hour drive to the mikvah. So is that samach? Right? Maybe it's like Erev Pesach, Samach L'mincha, maybe Samach half an hour. So there isn't too much in the poskim about how to define Samach. The Yireim says 3 hours. Okay, I'm not sure where he got that from, but that's what the Yireim writes. Take your pick. So, the Bade HaShulchan is medayik from some achronim, and maybe the Meiri as well, that
It's totally on Hesach Hadas. In other words, in that case, let's say where she does chafifa and she drives to the mikvah. So yeah, it's a 2-hour drive, but there's really not Hesach Hadas. So then that would still be samach. But if there is Hesach Hadas, even if perhaps it's less time, she's involved in something else. Her appointment isn't until 10 o'clock. She finishes her chafifa earlier. She figures, I may as well do my taxes while I'm waiting. So maybe that is a problem. It shouldn't look at time. Not so clear, Lemaisa, how exactly the Paschim, the Baal Shulchan himself, is unsure about this point. Now, all this, though, is assuming that we follow we're not choshish for the Rambam. However, if you look at the Pesach Tshuva, he quotes from the Shav Yaakov, there should be machmir for the Rambam. Again, the Rambam held that any time you find a chatzitza afterwards, if at least in the event that you weren't osekas bosomin, then you would have to repeat the tvila. Now, where is the Rambam getting this from? So as I mentioned before, the Rambam is in Mikvah's Beis Yud Zayin, but he's getting it from the Gemara Chulin. The Gemara over there is talking about Hasok Shochet Besakin V'Nimtza Peguma. So, very similar type of question. You go ahead and you checked your knife, right? Just like her, she did Chafifa. And then you shecht, and then you find that the knife is Pagum. And our question here is, when did the knife become Pagum? Did it become Pagum prior to Shechita, in which case the Shechita is no good? Or did it become Pagum after Shechita, in which case the Shechita was fine? So Rav Huna over there says, Afilu shiber ba atzamos kol yom psula, chashin and shema be'or nefgema. Even if after you shecht, you cut bones are very hard, likely to make a pagam in a knife, and then you look at your knife and there's a pagam, so you would have said, oh, for sure it came afterwards. No, you still have to be choshish came before. Maybe the or, meaning to say, the knife already got the pagam in the initial severing of the skin, in which case the shechit is invalid. V'chist amar k'shera, shema be'etzem nifkema. And the Gemara says, what's the star of Chista? Etzem vade pogim, or suffik pogim, suffik eno pogim. So therefore, you could be makel despite the cheskas iser, ein suffik motim de vadai. So the Gemara then asks from our halacha, tavel v'alav v'nimtza alav davar chotze, it's afel pish and asik bosu hamin kol yom kulo lo also lo tvila at yomer bar elisha lo haya alai kodim lachay. So we quote this Brisa. And a simple reading of the Brisa is that if she discovers a chatzitza following tevila, you assume that the tevila is invalid, right? That's why this is supporting Rav Huna, who's machmir over there. You assume that the tevila is invalid unless she could say, bari li shelo haya alai kodem lachen. And therefore the Rambam understands that kipshuto. That price of Kipshuto is the Beis Yosef over here notes. And the Rambam says, unless she could say barili, then basically she'll have to repeat the tefillah. Whereas the Rashba says, no, we'll say that Brisa is talking about a case where she didn't do chafifa samach letvila. But if she did, then you don't need to say barili. We'll assume that it happened afterwards. So this is a machlokas rishonim, as we noted. And as we noted, most poskim, paskin, lakula, like the Mechaber and Ramaz Ikrashita, they're not choshish for the Rambam. Though, since the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Machmirim, so if you could be Mekel, you could be Mekel. That's what the Badi Shulchan says. Im Efshar Lahakel Bekal, so you should be, Im Efshar Lahachmir Bekal, you should be Machmir. So let's give some practical examples. These shailas come up. So let's say the following shaila. A woman calls you from the dressing room of the mikvah, and she says, I was just toveles, and I found some chatzitza. I don't know, some crust on my lips. I don't know. if it was there before or after. So what's the first question you could ask? Are you makbid, right? So let's say she can't say I'm not makbid. She says, yeah, when I notice it, I would take it off. I peel off the crust. So you have to figure out what a crust is. If she just means some skin, so that's probably not a chatzitza. We discussed lips before and the like. But let's say it's actually some crust, some mucus, something like that. So what would the halacha be? So l'chor, assuming that she did a chafifa, samach l'tvila, and it was b'oso ono, like we said, typically that will be the case if it's a weekday tvila. So what should the halacha be according to the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Rashba? She's good, right? What would you say according to the Rambam? Pashtus, you should tell her she should repeat the tvila. How would we paskin? So here, we'll say, like we said, that we'll be choshish for the Shav Yaakov if it's easy to go ahead. She's still in the, she's still at the mikvah, right? So to go back and to be tovelis a second time, okay. After lahakel bekal, sorry, after lahachmir bekal, so you should be machmir. Here, I think you could even argue that maybe even the Rambam would be mako, because we'll see when we get to Sefer Aleph. But the Rambam is mako. If nisaska charkach, it could be something like crust on a lip, which could happen on its own. Maybe it's equivalent to nisaska charkach. Not sure if that's so obvious. But lamaisa, I would say, in a case like that, I will have agreed that you would tell her, she's still at the mikvah, go back again. Because better to... Okay. But let's say this happened on a Friday night, and she therefore had her chafifa and her tevila on two different onos. So then, it's not so pasha to be makeup there. Even if she got home already, less pasha to be makeup. What about the following shayla? This is even more tricky. Let's say she goes to the mikvah Friday night. She comes home. And then she says, I discovered something in between my teeth. Between the molars. She said, I did chafifa beforehand. I brushed. I flossed. I did everything I was supposed to. But, it happens. It happened, something between the molars. So again, what's the first question? Are you makbid? So she says, I wasn't makbid until I noticed it. But now that I noticed it, I would want to take it out. So that's not the answer you want to hear. And here, again, it's two different onos. So if it's in very loosely, we talked about maybe you could be mako. But if it's in, especially Ari Willig thinks we accept of Moshe, but if it's in tightly, or as in this particular shayla, she has no idea, now it's out. So then, Pashta says she should go back to the mikvah. Yeah, there, Robbie had a question.
I was wondering, aren't all these chatzitzos in the Rabbanim?
Yes.
So when you add that to the Rambam ever says Pesach, when it comes to in the Pesachim case, is a something derisive?
The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mikvaos, Tavla v'alsa v'nimtza la davar chotzeitz, in ba'oso ayom shechafafa tavla ena tzricha lachof pam shniya. Ela chozeres v'tovelas miyad bilvad. Yeah, it sounds like any chatzitz, even a chatzitz in the Rabbanim. So that's an interesting question, but Lamaisa, the Gemara itself didn't make that chiluk, because the Gemara asks the Shaila, brings a raya to Rav Huna from the Braisa that's talking about chatzitzos. It doesn't say that we're talking about chatzitza deraisa. So you could ask a Shaila on the Gemara in Chulin, why? It's an interesting hara, but Lamaisa, that's the assumption that the Gemara makes. Yeah. Okay, so now we'll turn to Sif Yud Aleph, and things get even more complicated. So first, what is the, when you read the Shulchan Aruch, Kipshuto, the impression you get is the following. In the event, here we're going to begin discussing the case of where it wasn't Ba'oso Ona / Samach. So first of all, let's, before we get to the case of Sif Yud Aleph, let's repeat what we already know. We know, as we mentioned before, that chafifa is ma'akev. So that means that if she didn't do chafifa, even if she finds nothing, so she would have to be tovelis another time. And we also know from Sif Yud that if she did chafifa, we'll say, samach and ba'oso ona, then even if she does find something, you don't have to repeat the tefillah. Again, assuming for the moment that we don't pass on like the Rambam. So, what about the middle case? What about the middle case? Meaning to say, she did do chafifa, but it wasn't samach slash ba'oso ona. What's the halacha? So the Mechaber seems to say, it depends. If we're talking about a case where she was involved in that object after the tevila, before the discovery, so she didn't do her chafifa samach, right? She did chafifa, but not samach. Then she goes to the mikvah, then she comes home, she eats supper, ketchup with French fries with ketchup, and then she discovers some ketchup on her hands. Okay, gewaldic, she's okay. What about if she wasn't osekes? So then, it sounds like you'd have to be machmir, and she would have to repeat the tevila. Right? That's what the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is. And this is based off of the Rashba and the Taurus HaBayis. Right? So again, we have three levels. Right? If it's samach, then even if she finds ketchup afterwards, without eating her fries, again, assuming it's possible. Number two is she didn't have samach, so then it depends. If she was nisaska, then she doesn't have to repeat the tefillah. And if lo nisaska, she does have to repeat the tefillah. And if she didn't do chafif at all, then even if she finds nothing, she would have to repeat the tefillah. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch based off the Rashba and Tarsabayas. The Shach, though, points out, wait, hold your horses. The Rashba and Chidushim and Chulin, Daf Yud, Amud Aleph, does not say this. There he writes that nisaska does not help if it's not samach. The only thing that works is if she says barili shelo hayasham osodam. Again, based off of that same brisa in Maseches Chulin. Unless she could say with certainty that the ketchup wasn't here, even though after, right, so she didn't have chafifa samach, right? Let's say she did chafifa the previous day, right, because it was Yantif. So she did chafifa the previous day. She comes home. Okay, it's Yantif, so she's not going to be eating French fries, but she's going to be eating roast beef, but she still likes roast beef with ketchup. And she eats her roast beef with ketchup, and then she finds her ketchup on her arm. So she has to be Choseres V'Tovelis, unless she could say, Bevadai, it was not there. That's what he writes. In other words, just to put it differently, what are the three dargos according to the Rashba and Chidushim? If it was samach, then even if she finds it afterwards without being osekas, it's okay. If lo tav, the other extreme, if lo chafifa, then it's no good even if she doesn't find ketchup. In the middle case, though, that's where the Rashba and Chidushim disagrees with the Rashba and Tarsabais. In the middle case, where she ate ketchup and she did chafifa, but it wasn't samach, then she would have to repeat the tevila unless she could say barili. So how do we paskin? So the Shach says we should be choshesh lachomra for the Rashba and Chidushim. And therefore, even when she has a tliya, she has to be machmir. Even when she has a tliya, she has to be machmir. So lachomra should be machmir for the Shach. So let's say it's Shabbos or Yantif, and the chafifa wasn't bosa ona. Right, my case. She goes to the mikvah, she does chafifa on a Friday afternoon, she goes to the mikvah, she comes home, she's eating supper with ketchup, and she finds some ketchup on her arm. So according to the Shach's Chumrah, that were choshev to Rashba and Chulin, what would you say? What's the halacha? She has to be tevelis again, except, I think odds are over here she would be able to say barili, right? In other words, even the Shach in Chidushim was machmir, based off, I mean, the Rashban Chidushim was Machmir, would agree that she could say Barili. My guess is that in that case, this woman who did Chafifa and the like, you know, so if she finds a ketchup behind her ear, so you're right, she couldn't say Barili. But if she finds ketchup on the side of her hand, she could very likely say Barili, and therefore she wouldn't have to repeat the tefillah, even according to the Shach's Chumrah. In fact, the Sidrei Tahara and the Badei HaShulchan say perhaps you could be Mekel, even according to the Shach, if she did Iyun right before. It's not clear, and the Shach doesn't say that, but perhaps you would agree that if you did Iyun right before, which we always do tell her to do. So therefore, she did Iyun right before, and then she was Osekes afterwards, and she finds it, so she could be Mekel. So certainly, in that case of the ketchup, if she did Iyun right before, it would be okay. So therefore, in a certain sense, it comes out that according to the Shach, Sifkat Yadayin, there are four dargos, right? We said originally there are three, but there are actually four according to what the Shach says. If Chaf of Samach Litvila, and she finds something afterwards, so again, the way we paskin against the Rambam, even if she wasn't Osekes, she could assume Chafifa, the Chatzitza came afterwards, she's good. If it was Kodem, she did Chafifa, but it wasn't Samach, even if she's Nisaska Kol Yom Kulo, Lo also Latvila, if she finds a Chatzitza afterwards, and again, in that case, according to the Mechaber, he's Mekel, as long as you have Nisaska, according to the Shach, Nisaska isn't enough, you need Barili. And again, according to the Sidrei Tahara, it's enough if there was Iyun immediately before. Then, the Shach introduces a third level, which is, she didn't do Chafifa Samach, but she did Chafifas Rosha Vishar Gufa, but before that Ona, right? This brings us back to that Bach that we mentioned at the beginning. In other words, she does the Chafifa Mikra Din, but not the expanded Chafifa that we recommend. And she did Iyun. So then we say, if she didn't find anything, it's okay. But if she does find something, even if Nisaska Bosa Min Lachar Tvila, and even if she says Barili, we're going to be Machmir. Because she didn't do total chafifa at all. And finally, lo chafaf at all, so then we say it always works. Now, one very obvious question about all this, which, though it's an obvious question, I never thought about it until the following shiloh came up. The shiloh wasn't asked to me, but to Rabbi Willett, an unbelievable shiloh. The question is, when does this end? Now, what are we saying? We're saying, let's say, if the chafifa wasn't samach, right? Wasn't samach. So then, even if nisaska charkach, at least if she can't say barili, you have to be machmir. So what if you find the chafifa a couple days later? Right? What if you find the chafifa a week later? But she can't say barili. Right? What time does this end? So here is the shiloh Rabbi Willig was once asked. Woman goes to the mikvah Friday night, right? So you don't have samach. Or bosa ona. On Monday, she finds something sticky on her back. And she has no clue where it's from. No clue. So what's the halacha? And here you don't even have the mechaber to be mekel on, because it wasn't nisaska, right? Certainly, according to the shach, it's a problem. But even according to the mechaber, because it's not like, she was nisaska with glue or something. No, she's no clue where it's from. Something sticky on her back. No idea where it came from, but the mice is there. But she went to the mikvah Friday night. Now it's Monday morning when she discovers it. Right? So could you be Mako? So, did she do Iyun before? Right? Remember we said that the Sidrei Tahara is Mako if you did Iyun before. But the answer is she didn't. Certainly, she didn't do Iyun on her back. And the mikvah lady, apparently, in this mikvah, doesn't look on Friday nights. I don't know what that's about exactly, but she doesn't look. So she didn't do Iyun. She doesn't know if anything was there for Friday night. So Rabbi Willig was Mekel, based off of some deal in the Mishmar Satara. I don't know what it was exactly. And Rabbi Willig was Mekel. I thought, there's a better... I thought the tzad to be mekel was that if there was if there's something on your back that you're makbid about, her husband would have noticed after she came back from the mikvah, right? It's not like, you know, to not notice something like that. But anyway, so it's an interesting shiloh. Now, until now, we've been focusing on the sheet of the Shach. The Taz is much more makel in all these shilohs. The Taz says that if it was toch the ona, then she could be makel, even if lo nisaska. In other words, he paskins like the Rashba. He's not choshet, and the Shulchan Aruch, he's not choshet for the Rif and the Rush, who say that in addition to oso ona, you also need samach. He also says that in the case of a hefsek ona, im nisaska, she doesn't need a tefillah acheres, right? Like, again, like the Shulchan Aruch. He's not choshet for the Rashban Chidushin and the Shach that you need to say Bari Li. If it's more than, he also has four madregos. If it's more than an ona, then nisaska acharkach doesn't work. That's how he's miyashev this stira. In other words, he has ona, more than an ona, and that's where he draws the distinction, where he says that if you didn't find the chatzitza, it's okay, but if you did find the chatzitza, it would be a problem. And then, of course, lo chafif haklal, so then she would have to repeat the tefillah no matter what. Okay. Sif Yud Gimel. The Rambam writes, Pascha in Abiyoser, O Itzamtan Biyoser, Lo also Latvila, Bemedvar, Mamur, and Linyantaros, Afalatir Labaila, Arezim Butares, Af Alpi, Shinasna Tavshil Livnot. So this goes back to our favorite sugya that we've seen on a number of occasions, how to read that Gemara, what's the Girs and the like. And that's the Psak of the Rambam. Now the Beis Yosef asks why. And he gives two answers. First answer is, we're talking about a tavshil she'enu nidbak lagamrei. And that's why we're makel afal pishanas na tavshil livna, except for taros. That's why we're makel for chulin. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes over here, harotwi lidabek, right? Take a look at sif yud gimel. Chafif hakodem tefila, uvein chafif al tefila nisask b'dvar machotzitzin oshenasna tavshil livna harotwi lidavek ba, then lo also la tefila. And what did the Rambam mean? Something that's ainu roi lidavek ba, but if it's roi lidavek ba, lo also la tefila shani yomer be'aliyasa min amayim nafal mimena v'tzricha tefila acheres. The second answer of the Beis Yosef was that the Rambam holds that lo gazrel miut umakpid labaila, very remarkable theory, right? The Rambam here saying a tremendous chiddush against what we've been assuming this whole time, but the Beis Yosef is docha that answer. Really? Now, maybe you could have answered that lachar tevila, it's not a chatzitza, only for taros we have this concern that maybe it was there and it fell. In other words, a much simpler answer, right? It's very interesting why the Beis Yosef needs to consider these two seemingly more difficult answers. I would have said like this. We're talking here about a case where what happens? She comes up and she finds nothing. So if she finds nothing when she gets out of the mikvah, why is there a concern at all? Answer must be because we say, well, it was actually there at the time of the mikvah, at the time of the tefillah, and it, you know, fell off afterwards, ba'aliyasa nafla. So that chshash is only a chshash for taros. But for baila, we don't have that chshash. We'll say that since you didn't see it afterwards, presumably it wasn't there at the time of the tefillah, right? Why does the Beis Yosef give these two very difficult answers? It seems like the Beis Yosef did not rule that way, perhaps because of what the Rambam says a little later in Halacha Yotes, that even La'achar Tevila, this might be true. The Rambam over there writes, Nida Shanas Natasha Levna, V'tavla, Lo Also LaTevila, Mipnei Hashamnunis She'al Yadeha. In other words, here, the Rambam, right, the Rambam writes, Nas Natasha Levna, the tavla lo also latvila nashnus shal yada. Sounds like from the Rambam that he's makel
even if there is shamnunis shal yadaha. Right? Because he doesn't say something like choshishin shama hayal yadaha. Not clear. Could be that the Beis Yosef is also based off of a different Rambam. The Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Beis, Hamafshelas binala chora, the tavla, lo also la tvila, shema hayatit biragle atinok, o biyadav, the nidbak biima bishas tvila, the chatat, bachar shalsa nafla. Now this halacha, the Rambam said, l'chora, not just by taros, even by baila. So how do you explain this? So according to Beis Yosef, according to my theory, it's shver, right? But according to Beis Yosef's answer, it's very meduyak. Because here we're talking about tit, which is davar chotzeitz, and therefore we are machmir even labaila, and tav shil levna, so we'll learn like the Beis Yosef sukimta, that we're talking about something that's not nidbak, and therefore we're only machmir for taros. And that's the way I think it sounds like from the Gra. That's how we understood the Beis Yosef. What's interesting, though, is in the Kesef Mishnah, he gives a different answer. The Kesef Mishnah in Mikvos Perek Beis also asked this question. And he writes, Tzarech lomar shegirsas Rabbeinu Ayakasov mafshalas bina kodem nas natashal vina asa tzarech lasish tam maishna nas natashal vina mi mafshalas bina shezu also latvila lebaila vizu lo also latvila v'asher shatam yishum dino senes tashal vina yoda shedar chatav shil lidabek ubevadei nisharas ulefikach mutaras lebaila eldon rotaro sechmiro aval mafshalas bina eina suya litain al liba sheyesh tit bidei hatinok o biraglav lefikach chashula af lebaila. In other words, again, how do we resolve this tir in the Rambam? What's the difference between mafshelas, where the Rambam is machmir, even lebaila, and the case of nasna tavshil tavshil tinok, where he's megil? And basically, we have two answers in the Beis Yosef. In the Kesef Mishnah, he answers that no senes tashel of none is heres, right? So it's only achshash by taros. And perhaps you can deduce from the way he says it in the Shulchan Aruch in the Beis Yosef, and again, this is the way the Gra understands the Pesach of the Mechaber, is that the Rambam is, the distinction is whether it's nidbak or not. Okay. But Lamaisa, if you look at the Gra, Sifkat and Lamed Aleph, he writes that the pshat of the Beis Yosef in the Rambam is dachuk, because the Rambam writes behedya lahaka labayla benas natasha levna, right? And he doesn't make this kimta that we're talking about a tavshil she'ena nidbekes. Now, the problem with the Gra is he doesn't tell you how to learn the Rambam, right? So, okay. So throughout the Beis Yosef, what's the pshat? Maybe the pshat in the Gra is like I was saying, that the chiluk is whether it's only for taros that we're choshesh, that we're choshesh, where right now, post tevila, she doesn't find anything, we're choshesh that baliyasa nafla. I don't know how the Gra would paskin l'maisa, because even though it's pretty clear that he understood the Rambam as being Mako, maybe he thinks we paskin like the Ravid. Right? The Ravid holds that this halacha was not said, even the Bina case was not said, applies for Chulin, right? Or like Rashi and Tosfos that aren't Goris at all, right, as we saw earlier. I don't think it's so relevant, because we always check before going to the mikvah. But it's an interesting question how we would paskin. There's a discussion over here about we're done the simon, right, in terms of sif yud, but we'll see. we really tavla matzah chatzitza. So we already talked about that earlier. So I don't think we need to go back over that in terms of the difference between beis hastarim and non-beis hastarim, the remarkable chiddush of the Ravid, and do we accept the Ravid and the Shach and the like. So we did all of that in Kof Tzadi Ches already, so we don't need to do that again. But just one last, I guess, addendum is like this. The discussion of Shechita B'Seyar in terms of how should you be noheg after going to the mikvah in terms of drying yourself. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chaf Ches Amabes, is like this. Tan Rabbanan, in Tzricha L'ner, Chaverta Madlekes L'Saner. This is talking about a Mialedes. V'maisa Tzricha L'Shemen, Chaverta Mevila L'Shemen B'yad. V'meino Safik B'yad, Mevila B'Sara. V'meino Safik B'Sara, Mevila B'Kli. In other words, we're trying to be Memaida Malacha, and one way to avoid Malacha, if you need oil, is to bring it in your hair. Oh, well, what does it help? So the pshat is that you put your oil into your hair, and then you do the hotzah, and then you squeeze it out of your hair into the candle. Very good eitzah. So the Gemara says, typically mishum shchita. One second, this, you're not solving problems, you're making problems. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvayu, in shchita b'seyar. Rav Ashi Amra, filo teim b'yish shchita b'seyar. She brings the oil in her hair. It doesn't mean she saturates her hair in oil. It means she ties the jug of oil to her hair. Okay. Tying it in a way that's no kosher. She uses an anifa. So what's going on over here? So the Rashi over there says, Tepak le mishim schita, lama lo heviyala bekli shalotachal shabbos behotza, hachana meruchal schita, in schita beser, shehu kosher, veino bolaya. It's a very important klal. In other words, what happens if you put oil, or presumably water, in your hair, even if you were to squeeze it out? It's not the pshat that the hair sucks up the oil or the water, and then when you squeeze your hair, it's released like in a sponge or clothing. Hair is non-absorbent. The pshat is that in between the hair, the water, there's water. It's on the surface, and that allows you to carry water, right? So after you come out of the shower, if you have long hair and you squeeze your hair, water will come out, but that's not really schita. Now the Rambam paskins like the opinion ain't schita b'seyar, so one would get the impression that's in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Yud Aleph, that there is no schita b'seyar at all. That seems to be the psak of the Rashba and the Ritva and the Gemara. But the Magid Mishnah's Medayik from the Rambam that there might still be schita midrabanan. Because he says, ein chayavin al schitasa. So then we're not out of the water at all. Now, there's another issue. What is the malacha we would be talking about? Because we know schita could be two potential issues. It could be dash, it could be melabain. Is it shayach melabain for your hair? And the like. So this is a big discussion in the Rishonim, and they bring a number of rayos. And it comes up in our siman as well, which is why we're discussing it in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, siman Kuf Tzadi Tes and Yodeya, quotes the Kolbo. Ani tama. Adkan, says the Beis Yosef, and therefore you might have said, you know, how could we be makel? Ein litchos divrei kohani rabavsa desharu litvo b'yom tov shabbos. So even though the Kolbo says you shouldn't do tefillah on Leil Shabbos, the Ravid says you shouldn't do it, but everybody else says you can. V'odachi mashma behediyah b'perek b'mei shiyotza, the Gemara we just said, that there's no chashash shechita b'seyar. Shrei pasaka Rambam, shein shechita b'seyar.
In other words, he's not choshish for the Magad Mishnah's reading of the Rambam, and he assumes that the Rambam is matir entirely. That's the simple reading of the Beis Yosef over here. However, he does say, the kasavti taimo betur or chaim simin shin lamed. So you have to look at what he says in shin lamed. Shin lamed, he writes like this, pasaka Rambam, dein schita b'seyar, the nirish was also, ver de ravashi lav lefluga de rabba ver yosef b'schita seyar asa, elomer da fil we have a schita b'seyar shapir. You could give that crazy example of carrying the jug of oil hanging it from your hair. But, v'taimo mishom, da'af al-gav de'en schita b'seyar, isura mi'a'ika, u'kamo shakasa rava magid. So in Orachayim, he quotes the Magid Mishnah that there is an iser d'rabbanan. So if so, then according to the Beis Yosef, we do have a problem. So why is he being docha the kolbo, right? If there's a concern with schita b'seyar, right? So
how did the kolbo get to be?
So that's the question. So there's a couple of questions. First of all, what was the kolbo's concern? Was the kolbo's concern hotzah, or was the kolbo's concern the act of drying? In other words, maybe the kolbo was assuming, look, she's not going to stand around for 2 hours after she goes to the mikvah on Friday night and wait for her hair to dry. And there's a concern, therefore, for hotzah, and therefore, inevitably, she's going to do schita. Right? That's not clear. But the kolbo doesn't clarify why, since there's a problem with schita, so that practically translates into an iser to do tvila on Friday night. And also, we don't know what the Beis Yosef is going to say. Meaning to say, the Beis Yosef, who does hold that there's an iser drabbanan, still says there's no problem. In other words, what remains unclear is what exactly the machlokas is. What are they arguing about? Maybe the Beis Yosef holds, since anyway it's only a concern for drabbanan, so we don't have to worry she's going to be drying it. We'll tell her not to. Another raya to be makel is from Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. And to make matters even more confusing, in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't pask in the Yisr at all, in Or Chaim. Now, there's even though in the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim, he cites the view of the Magid Mishnah. It sounds like he accepts the Magid Mishnah, B'dase Rambam, but it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Bir Alach over there, Simon Shin Chaf, Sif Tes, does quote the Rambam Shita, the Magid Mishnah Shita, the Beis Yosef Shita, but it's not even clear what the Mechaber is going to paskin. Again, another Rai Lahak is from the Gemara in Kuf Mem Aleph in Shabbos over there. It's quite clear that if you did rechitz on Shabbos in a place that's not a rishus hayachid, so you should dry your hair, right? Alav, you should dry your body when you come out of the water because of a concern that you'll carry arba amos b'metalvelin, right? Right. The Gemara says, "Amar Yehuda, man desachi b'maya." Lingav nafshe bereshe vahadar lislik dilma asilasu yarba amos bekarmelis ihachi kanachis nami no kadachi kocho arba amos vasir kocho bekarmelis lo gazru. Great, sounds like you're allowed to do rechitza b'makom zeh. Remember, we talked about this before when we talked about the general permissibility of going to the mikvah on Friday. And other than that Truma Sadeshen that the Rama quoted, which the Mechaber didn't cite, there doesn't seem to be a problem to going into a river, let's say, on Shabbos, according to the Mechaber. So all this is very confusing in terms of figuring out what to do halach l'maisa. So what do you do halach l'maisa? So if you look at the poskim, just by way of example, if you look at the Dir Shu Mishneh Brura, you'll see he quotes four shitos. Think four shitos. How could you have four shitos here? These are the four shitos. Some say mikra din, it's mutter, because it's schita kelachar yad, and it's not derech schita,
And anyway, the water, let's say you dry your hair with a towel, so the water in your hair immediately gets absorbed into the towel, and therefore it's mutter mikra adin. But lamaisa, even though it's mutter, we say don't dry your hair vigorously. You should do it benachas below bechazaka, which I assume means what we call a pat dry. So she should pat dry her hair with a towel, but not vigorously dry it. Yesh omrim, that a little less, it's only permissible to put the towel on your hair. In other words, not even a light dry, but you can put the towel on your hair. Some say it's mutter even to vigorously dry like you would during the week, because all the water immediately gets absorbed into the towel. There's not going to be that much water in your hair that your towel is going to be dripping after you're done. And then some say you shouldn't dry your hair at all if you go to the mikveh Friday night. Nobody says, like the Kolbo, that you shouldn't go to the mikveh. But according to this Machmir view, she should, you know, she could dry her body, but not dry her hair. So what do you do, Lamaisa? The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman that if you gently dry your hair, miyabesh et haseyar be'adinut, then it's mutter lechatchila b'Shabbos. In other words, it's going to get off the surface water, won't really dry out your hair entirely. I think it is, the women don't like this actually, but that is, I think, the common practice. So to gently put a towel on your hair, not more. Okay, we're out of time. I was hoping to finish today and do some in Reish. We're going to do some in Reish Beis Hashem Wednesday, but that won't take us more than a couple minutes. Two announcements. Number one, when do you want your bechina?
Wednesday's
probably early mincha also.
Oh, Wednesday's early mincha.
Not this Wednesday.
No, no, no. Yeah. Oh, so off shear, when is mincha going to be?
Not Wednesday this week. Wednesday
no, when is Wednesday this week will be early mincha.
Yeah, no, I was talking about Wednesday, not this week.
So when is mincha? Do you know? 1 o'clock?
Probably.
Okay, so let's have shir at 12:40. Okay, shir Wednesday at 12:40. We'll finish for mincha be'ezras Hashem. In terms of the bechina, so when would you like the bechina? Okay, is that good for everybody? Fine. So my plan for Sunday is outvoted. We will. And no, nobody likes Tuesday? Okay. So, a week from Wednesday. And we will go weiter on Monday. You should all definitely start...